Hey, welcome to the Growth.me summary of Blue Ocean Strategy by W. Chan Kim and Renee Melbourne. Blue Ocean Strategy is about how to escape competition and create breakthrough business strategies. Kim and Melbourne say we should look outside our traditional industry boundaries so we can truly innovate for our customers, and we can find entirely new market demand rather than fighting over old market share. And in the same vein, our top quote from this book says, "Blue Ocean Strategy argues that firms need to go beyond competing and the mere improvement of product or services in overcrowded industries and pursue value innovation to open up new market space and make the competition irrelevant," end quote. So have you ever thought of an exciting new business or product idea, only to look online and discover that 12 other people have already done it? I hate it when that happens. Well, it's no secret the business world is getting more competitive each year. And the authors of Blue Ocean Strategy say there are three reasons for this trend. The first reason is technology. Improved technology allows companies to streamline their research, design, and manufacturing. This means big companies can quickly release more and more products, more and more supplies of products into the market. The second reason is globalization. 50 years ago, most companies needed to compete with other local or domestic companies, but today we're often competing against the whole world, and this leads to fewer but larger winners like Amazon. The third reason is commoditization. This means, as an industry matures, competing products become more and more similar to each other. This causes customers to shop based more on price, and that dramatically shrinks profit margins. For example, when the iPhone was first announced, it was a brand new concept that had basically no direct competition. Yet today, the smartphone market is crammed with options, from $100 budget phones to $1,000 premium devices, which all do more or less the same things. So what's the solution to these modern problems? Well, most business strategy would tell us to compete harder, but the authors of Blue Ocean Strategy say that is not the answer. Instead, we need to escape the red oceans of bloody competition altogether. And we can do this by sailing towards pristine blue oceans of open market space. And by following Blue Ocean Strategy, we can break those old established market boundaries and create breakthrough new products like the Ford Model T, Nintendo Wii, or Apple iTunes. And the authors of this book say all these products fit this Blue Ocean Strategy. So who are the authors of this book? When they met 20 years ago, W. Chan Kim was a professor, and Renee Melbourne was a student, and they've worked together ever since. Many of their articles have been published in the Harvard Business Review, Wall Street Journal, and many other academic business journals. Today, they are both professors at INSEAD, a top MBA business school. In 2004, they wrote a Blue Ocean Strategy together, and it became a worldwide phenomenon. It has sold over 4 million copies, and it's been translated into 46 languages. It's now considered a must-read book by many top executives and MBA programs. And a few years ago, they completely refreshed and updated this book also. So now let's jump into the greatest lessons from Blue Ocean Strategy. And I promise to do my best to make these lessons about business strategy as fun and easy to learn about as I can. Okay, so lesson one is red oceans. We must avoid traditional business competition. So for a long time, most business strategy was based on military strategy. It was built on the flawed assumption that the market is a static battleground where opposing sides must fight each other to win territory or market share. In fact, the dominant thought leader in business strategy was the Harvard professor Michael Porter. And he taught, for example, that companies could secure a strong position in their industry through a low-cost strategy or a niche differentiation strategy. For example, if you opened a coffee shop, then you could either offer the cheapest coffee or some specialty product or service like organic lattes. And these are both strategies to try to gain an edge against the competition to win that limited market share. But the authors of Blue Ocean Strategy say that those old-style business strategies just keep companies trapped in red oceans. Red oceans are all the established industries that exist today, and they tend to be crowded markets full of cutthroat competition. And it's very hard to succeed by competing directly in these red oceans. For example, if we offer a better or higher quality product, that's usually not enough to beat an established leader in a market. For example, Pepsi consistently beats Coke in blind taste test studies, but after decades of trying to compete, they continue to only have a fraction of Coke's market share. Another example, trying to be the lowest cost provider of a product, that eventually shrinks your profit margins down to almost nothing. And that's why most markets only have room for one big low-cost player. In the market of discount retail stores, it's true that Walmart has succeeded big, but dozens of other businesses had to go out of business, like Kmart and a whole industry of variety stores. So it seems that each market or industry can only really accommodate one of those big low-cost players. Okay, another reason is being a differentiated niche player is also a dead-end strategy, because targeting smaller and smaller market segments, well, that only leads us down the path of shrinking opportunities. It's like we're cutting one piece of pie into smaller and smaller slices, and we can't keep doing that forever. On the other hand, Blue Ocean Strategy helps us to find breakthrough strategic moves that expand the size of the market itself. It's like baking a whole new pie. So this lesson in short, up until recently, most business strategy was based on military strategy. It assumed companies must fight competitors to win territory or market share. Unfortunately, this approach keeps us stuck in red oceans, which are crowded and low profit markets. Okay, next we have lesson two, Blue Oceans, find open market space. Fortunately, we don't need to remain stuck in red oceans. We can avoid the competition entirely by finding a blue ocean. A blue ocean is an open space in the market that has yet to be explored by any other company, because it's outside of those traditional industry boundaries. And the rest of this book is all about how to find and create these blue oceans. Here's a quote from the book. Blue oceans are defined by untapped market space, demand creation, and the opportunity for highly profitable growth. In blue oceans, competition is irrelevant because the rules of the game are waiting to be set. End quote. As an example, the authors examine the circus industry. You see, for many decades, large circus companies like Barnum and Bailey were very popular, especially among children. And generally, the circus companies competed with each other by offering more animals, or more simultaneous shows, or maybe more famous performers. However, despite their efforts, the circus industry as a whole was slowly sinking. But then a Canadian man came along and created Cirque du Soleil, and this show became incredibly successful. They became larger and more profitable than the old circuses. They started playing shows in hundreds of cities and performing for hundreds of millions of people. Cirque du Soleil offered a new type of show that did not compete directly in the old circus industry, but it was something new and different because it borrowed some elements of the theater industry and the dance industry. In short, they succeeded by breaking those old traditional market boundaries between the circus and theater, thereby creating a new blue ocean. So Cirque du Soleil, they did a few things differently. Well, first, they kept certain factors of traditional circuses the same, like they kept the tent and the costumes, but they removed some factors that people usually expect to see in a circus, like the animals and the famous performers. They also added some new factors to the show, which circuses didn't have before, like the theater and the dancing, and the whole idea of having a performance within a story. But they also raised their prices to be comparable to more like a theater show rather than a circus. Circuses had always been traditionally very cheap. So Cirque du Soleil was the first company to offer a show of their unique style, which that will probably make it very difficult for any new companies to come along and compete with them. The famous marketing consultants Al Reese and Jack Trout, they often emphasize the importance of being the first to do something new in business. Those marketing guys, they wrote, "The basic issue in marketing is creating a category you can be first in. It's the law of leadership. It's better to be first than it is to be better. It's much easier to get into the mind first than to try to convince someone you have a better product than the one that did get there first." End quote. And you can learn more about this approach to marketing strategy in our summary of their book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing, on growth.me. To summarize this lesson, a blue ocean is an open and unexplored market space. It's an area free of competition because we need to break traditional industry boundaries to reach it. Cirque du Soleil became far more successful than any previous circus company, and in a sinking industry, because they integrated new factors from theater into their show, thereby creating a blue ocean. Now, lesson 3, strategy canvas. Visualize your old and new business strategies. So the first part of making a new business strategy is to map your current strategy on a visual canvas. And by making our strategy visual, we will be able to more easily spot opportunities. And don't worry, this is a lot less complicated than it probably sounds. The authors call this making a strategy canvas, and we can break it down into 4 steps. Step 1 is to make a list of all the important factors that exist in your industry. Factors like price, speed, status appeal, etc. Step 2 is rate how well your product fulfills each of those factors, and also rate how well your major competitors fulfill those factors. Step 3 is to then map your ratings on a visual chart. So the way the authors do this is by creating a chart which with each factor listed at the bottom on the horizontal axis, and then the vertical axis represents your rating for how well your product fulfills each factor. And then once you have put your ratings on this chart, you can then draw a horizontal line through your ratings to make a curve. And they call this a value curve that represents your product's business strategy. And if this sounds complicated, then just head over to growth.me, and I've created a simple example of this chart. Once you see it, you'll see it's a very simple, and it's very easy to understand with a visual chart in front of you. So once you have this value curve, you can easily see how your product or your business's value curve compares to your major competitors. And if you see that your value curve is mostly similar to your competitors, that means you're probably stuck in a red ocean. You see, blue ocean companies, they always have a value curve that is clearly differentiated from the competitors because they offer factors that none of their direct competitors offer. And we can make this a lot easier to understand with a real-world example. So we're all familiar with smartphones, right? In the smartphone market, the important factors may be price, camera quality, ease of use, warranty, waterproofing, etc. So an iPhone would probably rate highly in most of the important factors, but at a higher price. On the other hand, a $200 smartphone may rate lower on some of those factors, but it will appeal to those price-conscious buyers. So we can map those factors onto a strategy canvas, and we will get two very different value curves. And in the smartphone industry, we would probably see that there are two major value curves that most smartphones fit into. There would be those high-end flagship phones, which are expensive, like the iPhone. And then there's another value curve of budget phones that sacrifice some features and come at a much lower price. So when the original iPhone was released, it offered a combination of factors that could not be found on other phones, like a large touch screen. If you remember back, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, when that first iPhone was released, what did the competition look like? There were flip phones, there were maybe Blackberries, which had those little keyboard buttons, but there wasn't really something like the iPhone. Yet today, the market has shifted. It's changed from a blue ocean to more like a red ocean, because now most smartphones, well, if we're honest, they look very similar to each other. They're all basically a big touch screen that you can touch all over, and they have icons, and they offer similar features, and this is making it more and more difficult for a company to continue charging premium prices. So to escape this red ocean in the future, one of those smartphone companies, they'll probably have to find a new value curve that diverges sharply from all the competitors. And that's why the innovative companies, they're always experimenting with new technologies to offer something new that others don't. In the case of smartphones, for a few years, there was a big battle who would offer the best camera. Right now, Samsung is trying to make foldable displays a mainstream feature, and that could allow our phones to unfold into a large tablet. Maybe that could be like having two devices in one, and that could be a new factor that Samsung could offer that other companies simply would not have the technology to offer. And we'll see if that innovation takes off in the future. But that is just one example of an attempt Samsung is trying to do to create a new blue ocean. To summarize this lesson, a strategy canvas is a tool to help us visualize our old and new business strategies. First, we must make a list of all the important factors in our industry. Then we must rate how well our product and then our major competitors fulfill those factors. Then we should plot our ratings on a chart to make a value curve, and we will find a blue ocean when our value curve is very different from all our competitors. Now, lesson four, value innovation. Aim for differentiation and low cost. So the core idea in this book, Blue Ocean Strategy, is that companies can discover a new blue ocean of untapped market demand by offering a combination of product factors that are significantly different than all competitors. And the authors of this book call this process value innovation. Here's another quote from this book. We call it value innovation because instead of focusing on beating the competition, you focus on making the competition irrelevant by creating a leap in value for buyers and your company, thereby opening up new and uncontested market space. End quote. So, to create a new and innovative business strategy, we must start with the product factors that we have, and then we must ask ourselves, first, which factors should I eliminate? Second, which factors should I reduce? Third, which factors can I increase? And fourth, which new factors should I introduce to my product? Now, let's notice that eliminating and reducing factors is just as important to Blue Ocean Strategy as offering more factors. And this is not what we would expect, right? Usually we think of improving a product, we add more to it. But here the authors are saying we can eliminate and reduce factors as a major part of our strategy. And the reason why this is so important is because it will help us lower costs. We can lower our business costs, but through offering less of what customers don't really want anyway. Now, remember how Cirque du Soleil, they didn't just add more factors to the old circus model. They also removed certain factors that they decided were not needed or not essential, like the circus animals. They removed all those. And when they removed the costs associated with the animals, that allowed them to then add more new factors. So this is a key point that makes Blue Ocean Strategy unique from other marketing strategies. Here's another quote from this book. Those that seek to create blue oceans pursue differentiation and low cost simultaneously. End quote. So blue oceans are about being different and also low cost. It's not about simply being different and being like a higher cost niche provider. So as another example, the authors in this book talk a lot about Ford's Model T car. You see, the earliest automobiles were very expensive, they were kind of unreliable, and they were basically status symbols. But then Ford came along with his Model T and changed everything. The Model T was the first car to become a mainstream success, and they sold millions and millions and millions of these, whereas before only a few very rich people had cars. And why was it such a mainstream success? Because Ford designed it, the Model T, to compete not against other cars at the time, but against the dominant mode of transportation, which used to be horse-drawn carriages. You see, the Model T sacrificed some factors that cars had, which were style and status appeal. It sacrificed and eliminated those factors, and as a result, it was able to cost a fraction of what other cars cost. Ford made it into a bare-bones machine that came in one model, and it only came in one color, which was black. And rather than being hand-built one at a time, like other cars, the Model Ts were built on mass assembly lines to keep costs as low as possible. And so it became a Blue Ocean success story. To summarize this lesson, value innovation is about offering a unique combination of product factors. You must ask which product factors you need to eliminate, reduce, increase, and introduce. Eliminating and reducing the costs of certain product factors gives us the budget to offer other new product features. And now lesson 5. Find new factors through looking outside accepted industry boundaries. So how do we know which of the factors in our product or our business that we should increase or introduce? Well, you need to look probably in a different place than you think. As we said in the beginning, many companies follow traditional business strategy advice, which often makes them too fixated on what their direct competitors are doing. Other companies believe that customers have the answers, so they pour resources into surveys and focus groups. While these strategies can produce some improvement, unfortunately, neither competitors nor customers can point the way for us to find a new blue ocean. Rather, to find a blue ocean of new market demand, we must look into alternative products and look at non-customers. By looking outside our industry boundaries, the boundaries that most people in your type of business currently accept, then you can find new ideas and innovations, and that's where you'll find viable new product factors to introduce. The authors Kim and Mauborn say there are 6 different paths we can look into, which they label the 6 paths framework. Let's look at these one by one. So first, research alternative products. Every business competes with a range of alternatives that are not strictly in the same industry as you. For example, your product satisfies a certain need or desire, right? Well, think of all the alternative ways your customers could satisfy that need. For example, when we're hungry for fast food, then we may decide to eat hamburgers, pizza, or fried chicken. Yet usually, a hamburger store owner may only view other hamburger stores as the competition, when really they may find great new ideas for their business by looking outside of that narrow industry boundary at the alternative products like pizza and chicken. Here's another example. Southwest Airlines became successful because they knew they were competing not just with other airlines, but with other modes of transportation, like trains and cars. So they priced their tickets not against other plane tickets, but against the prices of driving your car to another city. Okay, the second path is to research other segments in your industry. Sometimes you can find a blue ocean or create one through borrowing factors from another segment in your industry. For example, in the luxury segment of the car industry, companies like Mercedes-Benz, Lexus, and BMW compete against each other. Now, the budget car makers, they should be looking into the luxury segments for any factors that they could introduce into their own products, like faster service, a better warranty, maybe some premium car features, etc. So remember to look at other segments in your industry. The third path is to target either the buyer or the user. In many industries, especially in B2B, business to business, The person who buys the product is not the person who uses it. So maybe you can switch your focus to whichever one of those people is currently being neglected by your industry. And this can often bring many valuable ideas. For example, traditional insulin companies, they had always focused on marketing to doctors, the doctors who prescribed the medication, and these doctors were usually concerned with things like the purity of the insulin. But then a company named Novo Nordisk, they switched their focus to the users, the people with diabetes, and they found out what were the needs and the frustrations of the users. And from that research, they created an insulin pen that made taking insulin much easier and much more convenient. And, well, guess what? That product became incredibly successful for them. And it all came from switching focus from the buyer to the user. The fourth path is to research complementary products. So when someone is using your product, what other products do they use with it, perhaps before or afterwards? For example, an e-commerce store that sells baby diapers, they could also offer maybe baby clothes or baby food. These are all complementary products. People don't buy them in competition, but someone who buys diapers, they're likely to buy some baby food before or after those diapers, right? The fifth path is switch to a functional or emotional appeal. You see, some industries are very functional and utilitarian in their marketing, while other industries tend to be very emotional. So we should try doing the opposite of what most of the companies in our industries are doing. For example, in the investment industry, it was traditionally based on emotional appeal because it was built around the personal relationships that people had with their financial advisors or their stockbrokers. And then the industry was revolutionized by new products which were mostly functional. For example, the company Vanguard, they offered very automated, computerized, and low-cost index funds, and they became a very large player by doing this. They took out all those emotional, personal aspects of it and made it automated and functional. On the other hand, you can see Richard Branson, he uses his Virgin brand often to infuse emotions into industries that are mostly functional, like his airline company. Okay, and the last path, number six, is to forecast trends. So keep an eye out for which long-term trends may affect your industry. For example, in the case of Cirque du Soleil, the founders saw that moral attitudes around animal treatment were changing. And this allowed him to remove animals from his show and sell that as a benefit. See, people were getting more uncomfortable with animals being used in performances and the animal treatments and animal rights. Okay, so the richest, concerning these trends, the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, he once said, "Never chase the hot thing. You need to position yourself and wait for the wave," end quote. In his career, Bezos has constantly been jumping onto new trends before his competitors, and that's a big part of his success. First, he launched Amazon as one of the first e-commerce stores, back when most people believed the internet was some kind of fad, that it was not going to be important. And Bezos also pioneered many of the first new website features like customer reviews and dynamic product recommendations. But many years later, Amazon was beaten by Apple. The Amazon team was shocked when Apple's iTunes store basically destroyed their sales of music CDs. But Jeff Bezos took that failure as a lesson. he knew that Amazon must always try to put itself out of business and do this by launching new products, even if they may disrupt their currently profitable businesses, because he knew if they didn't do that, then their competitors inevitably would disrupt their business. And for example, he did this a few years later by launching the Kindle ebook reader. It's difficult to see today, but at the time, the Kindle could have potentially destroyed Amazon's main business of selling paper books. However, they took a big risk and it paid off. And today, Amazon also has a very dominant position in the ebook market because they made that gamble with introducing the Kindle. You can learn more of the behind-the-scenes story of Amazon's success in our summary of the Everything Store on growth.me. To summarize this lesson, we can find new factors to introduce into our own product by researching alternative products, other segments of our industry, and complementary products. We can also switch our strategy to either functional or emotional appeal, or we can begin targeting either the users or the buyers of our product, and finally, paying close attention to long-term trends. And now lesson 6, fair process. This is how to introduce a new strategy. Unfortunately, sometimes a new business strategy may provoke resistance within a large organization. When employees do not feel involved and included in the creation of the new strategy, then they may feel threatened by the new changes. In one story mentioned in the book, a lack of communication between management and employees resulted in the very slow adoption of a new strategy at a factory, and possibly even internal sabotage. So, fair process is how we can smoothly introduce a new business strategy, and it has 3 steps. Step 1 is engagement. This means asking everyone related to the project for input, especially the employees who will be executing the strategy. In the end, their daily activities will be the most affected. The second step is explanation. This means communicating what changes are being made and why management feels these changes are in the best interest of the company as a whole. And the third step is expectation. This means clarifying the new rules and standards that their work will be judged by. To summarize this lesson, fair process shows us how to execute a new strategy without provoking unnecessary resistance. It's about engaging with everyone related to the changes, explaining what will change and why, and clarifying new expectations. And finally, we have lesson 7, barriers to imitation. We can use these to guard our future success. So over time, every blue ocean slowly turns red. However, there are some effective barriers which can help us to protect our blue ocean and block off competition, at least for a while. These barriers to imitation include, first, organizational alignment. This is similar to company culture. You see, over time, every company builds momentum in a certain direction, which cannot be changed quickly. And when a company is very successful and has the right alignment, then it will be hard for another company to unseat their position. The second barrier is brand. Being the first brand name in a category can establish a dominant position for us. The marketing experts Reese and Trout, they point out that the first safety razor was made by Gillette, the first imported beer came from Heineken, and the first U.S. university was Harvard. And even today, these remain the dominant brands in each category, and that's why they say it's better to be first than it is to be better, because being first can set up kind of a barrier to imitation. And finally, there are economic or legal barriers. These include patents, which make it difficult for anyone else to produce a similar product. They include economies of scale, which help you produce the product at a much lower cost, etc. The tech billionaire Peter Thiel, who co-founded PayPal with Elon Musk, he says that all ultra-successful tech companies, like PayPal, Google, and Apple, they create a monopoly which allows them to avoid competition. He wrote, "All happy companies are different. Each one earns a monopoly by solving a unique problem. All failed companies are the same. They fail to escape competition." So he's sounding similar to Blue Ocean Strategy about escaping competition. So Peter Thiel says we can create a monopoly by solving a unique problem, by doing something other companies don't do, or by doing something so well that nobody else can offer a reasonably close replacement. Thiel also wrote, quote, "The perfect target market for a startup is a small group of particular people concentrated together and served by few or no competitors," end quote. So you can learn more startup business wisdom from Peter Thiel in our summary of his book, 021. To summarize this final lesson, we can guard our blue ocean by creating barriers to imitation, which include our company's alignment, branding, legal or economic barriers. Peter Thiel says all successful companies create a monopoly by solving a unique problem. And in conclusion of this summary, I want to ask you, what was your favorite practical lesson from this book? Which parts of Blue Ocean Strategy will you implement in your business or maybe your service or your career? Personally, I love the visual metaphor of sailing into a blue ocean. I also found it incredibly useful to think about introducing product factors from alternative products rather than just looking at direct competitors to my business. Finally, I've been to Cirque du Soleil show myself, living here in Canada, and I can definitely recommend it. You won't see something similar to it anywhere else. And maybe that's the whole point of this book, to use these tools to be creative and to create something new that will surprise and delight our customers and the people around us. All right, hope you enjoyed this, and I'll see you in the next one.